You're tuned into Why Folk Why Not on CKDU 88.1 FM. That was Maria Dunn with a song called Speed Up off of her most recent recording called Piece by Piece. Now it is a big day here at Why Folk Why Not. I got a jam-packed show for you. So we are going to close off the show chatting with Roger Stone. He's in the studio with me now, raised in St. Peter's, Richmond County, Cape Breton. Roger Stone is a musician of the first rank, former lead singer and songwriter of the celebrated Cape Breton band Breaking Tradition, whose recent reunion shows sold out one after the other. Roger is also a well-known teacher here in Halifax, lending his skills to notable musicians like Old Man Ludica and Dan McCormick. He joins me in the studio now. Hi, Roger.
How are you doing?
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, I feel like a grandpa when you say that.
So I wanted to start by asking you to sort of think back. When did you first pick up an instrument as a child?
Well, I was really young. You know, I grew up in a musical. Both sides of my family were musical people. I was probably like 5 or 6 years old. I was on stage at 5. Yeah, so that would have been 1965.
Right. And who did you play with at 5?
I remember I played accordion and I played, I was just a kid. The music was around, mm-hmm. And back then, there wasn't places to go and learn. You learned from uncles and whomever, But I grew up with my grandparents in St. Peter's. And it was one of those places where everybody went for music. There was always music there, Yeah.
Can you remember one of the first songs that you learned?
I don't remember the first song I learned. I can't. That's way too long.
No, it's too much of a first memory.
Yeah, it was more about instrumental stuff, actually, okay. As a child, as a kid.
And now you're known for being a multi-instrumentalist, and you play guitar in Breaking Tradition. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit specifically about banjo, because you were one of the first banjo players to come out of Cape Breton.
Well, really, before Breaking Tradition, there was just a couple of different incarnations. But anyway, it was called the East Coast Bluegrass Band, and I actually played banjo. And Breaking Tradition I played banjo in Breaking Tradition and guitar. So, we did bluegrassy stuff. Folky stuff, mainly what we call maritime music was always about taking the house party to the stage, So that's kind of how that all started.
And what attracted you to the banjo specifically?
Well, I don't have to, it's not a mystery. Earl Scruggs, obviously. There was a tune called Fireball Mail, and my next door neighbor, who was one of my teachers, a left-handed guitar player, trying to learn guitar from a left-handed guitar player that played upside down was a bit of a challenge. But anyway, he played this song, Fireball Mail, by his name was Al Martin. And, something got me, So my uncle bought me a banjo. It would have been 1972, I guess. And that's when it started,
And is Scruggs style still your favorite type of music to play on banjo, or have you...
Yeah, well, you change over the years. At one point, it was all about that, and there was nothing else. But I discovered clawhammer and, melodic stuff. And, we played, grew up with the Eagles and all that stuff. So, it changed, you evolve, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So, but I still love the Scruggs stuff for sure,
And you're going to play a couple of songs for us. Do we want to start off with one now, and then we'll talk a bit about Breaking Tradition?
What I'll do is I'll play a little, banjo players like to say noise,
So
we're going to call it G noise.
You're going to play in the noise of G? I remember in terms of full disclosure, you taught me banjo up until very recently, just because I'm moving, and I remember one of the first things you said was G is a gift. A banjo gives
That's
you
right.
G as a gift.
Yeah, when you start out, you have three chords, G, C, and D7, and G is free because there's no left hand. So one of the things that I try to instill in people is to, if you play like Scruggs, it's always that. That's not really, if you ever want to have your own identity, you don't want to play like anybody else. So I try to get students to play a little freer, and stay in time. So I'll just play a little bit of stuff. And,
mm-hmm. Thank you.
So as I said, that's a little less like bluegrass. You know, as a boy, of course, I played like everybody else. But I, over time, I just said, if you're ever going to be yourself, you have to find a way to do that on the five string, you know. So that's what that evolved into, you know.
Now, you played, you have more than 25 years of performance experience with Breaking Tradition and then also on your own. So what do you think makes a good performance?
To date, actually, it's 33 years that I've been on stage in around Halifax. Well, you know, other places in their country and other places in the world, actually. But, and I'm not saying that, I'm just saying it was interesting to take a banjo to the Middle East, you know, because even just going to through customs, they looked at you like you were like, what is that? You know, you could imagine. And, yeah, I spent almost 5 months in Dubai playing in the Jumeirah Beach Hotel, which was basically a country bar. So, yeah, taking this kind of instrument other places is pretty weird, you know, for sure.
And what role do you think the banjo plays in a band environment? Like,
well, there's certainly there's a way to do it. You know, I think the most important thing is learning how to find your place in the band. You know, I like to think of, you know, playing bluegrass as a real polite way of playing. You learn to back off when it's not your turn, and it really teaches you to use dynamics and on the microphone, moving in and out, and that kind of stuff. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of banjo players around, certainly in Cape Breton. I remember in the 70s, there was three of us, I think, in the Musicians Union, head of the whole place, you know, Cape Breton. There was three guys, and I was one of them. So, yeah, not a popular instrument in the 70s.
You know. And so because of that, where did you draw your, like you mentioned Earl Scruggs, were you listening to a lot, or were the three of you just kind of imagining what the possibilities were?
Well, I think, yeah, in the beginning we were just kind of, we all grew up, you know, listening to the country music and the Beverly Hillbillies and all that stuff, you know. So, but, you know, the late 70s, there was many festivals around, like, not many festivals, a couple of really good festivals. So fortunate to run in to great players. One of my most influential teachers is Skip Holmes from the Ladies' Choice Bluegrass Band. And through meeting he and Gordon Stolby, Billy Doucette was their guitar player. He was a Cape Bretoner. Trish York played fiddle and guitar and stuff. So we got in with that crew, and they had a television show called Up Home Tonight, and we met a lot of players, and that's how it all kind of went on from there, you know. That's great.
So you played a little bit, kind of a variation of the bluegrass style, but you're also talking about clawhammer. What are your thoughts on the differences between clawhammer and bluegrass style banjo?
That's an ongoing argument. You know, yeah. I know you and I have talked about that before. Well, really, in the clawhammer style, frailing, you tend to not drop the thumb down. So I'll just play a little bit of, mm-hmm. of frailing stuff here. So. So in that style, it's more like the old Pete Seeger kind of, except Pete Seeger did back strumming. So the thumb didn't drop down a lot, whereas the old players would say, you know, you meet these guys in the 70s and they say, well, that's not, you know, this is clawhammer or this is Scruggs. Or, so that the actual clawhammer style would be more like... So you can hear that percussive kind of thing happening. Which is more like Chris Ludica, like Old Man Ludica style. Like he's definitely both a frailing and clawhammer player. So, some of the other guys you mentioned, Dan McCormick, you know, Modern Grass, I think is the name of his group.
He does play in the Modern Grass, and in Grass Market.
And he's one of those guys that can do both as well. So, but Dan is more of a, you know, back in the 70s they would have called Dan a fancy banjo player because he's like a melodic kind of. A very good player, very mathematical kind of approach to it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned sort of meeting a lot of different players through the festival circuit in the 70s and onwards. There's a certain, what do you think, like you can reach a certain technical level and, you know, and beyond and up banjo, but what do you think makes the heart of a good player?
Well, number one, if you're in a band situation, learning how to back people up, it's not just called that. You have to know your spot. And not, the sum is greater than all of it. So you have to learn how to be that person. So even just, I've done lots of recordings, and most recently I did a recording with one of my students, Dana Beeler, and I played very simple banjo. It's really hard to do that driving, rolling banjo without throwing in a lot of licks, and that is what kind of learning your spot and how to do your job when you're hired to do that thing. That's how that works. So, yeah, being in a band is knowing your spot.
On your website for your teaching, you now have your own studio. You taught, obviously, for a long time at the Folklore Center, but your studio is called the Little Zen Music Dojo, and you have sort of on the opening to that space is, Zen guitar is nothing more than playing the song we're all born with inside, the one that makes us human. Why did you choose that?
Well, it's from a book called Zen Guitar, I grew up. My father was a soldier. He boxed, and I eventually got into martial arts. And you read all these books, and this book was a guy that was. The book is written, and showing the relationship between martial arts and music. And it doesn't have to be just guitar. It's any instrument. So, just learning how to enjoy the note. A lot of times people worry too much about learning the hot licks and learning how Jimi Hendrix did it or how instead of trying to play the best you can play with what knowledge you have at that time, instead of worrying about down the road. So that's a very Zen thing, is to play the best you can play right now. Don't worry about where you're going to get. And often people will not, they're good singers, for example, but they don't focus enough on their guitar playing or vice versa. If you're going to do this, then I think you should give it your best shot and take some lessons. And I probably had 40 or 50 teachers in my life so far, and some a lot longer than others. And some might have been an hour that I sat with someone, but still, you should never feel like you got it figured out. You should always search out people that can make you a better player, improve your skill.
And now with a lot of banjo playing musicianship behind you, how do you approach your instruments today?
Well, it's another one of those Zen things. The longer you play, the less you feel like you know anything. I don't know why that happens, but yet I can sit in a circle with people and suddenly these things start to come back to me. I just kind of try to forget and just play along with the person I'm playing with. And if they're not a bluegrass person or they're not whatever, you just try to do your best to hang on and make it sound, add something to it. That's the thing about playing. I think we're finally realizing here with Stan Fest and with Celtic Colors that we sit on a world level, as players. And I've sat and played with some pretty important guys and girls, and you realize we're all just people, it's some people spend more time on their instrument or whatever than others, but at the end of the day, it's doing your homework,
And how important, I think you sort of kind of mentioned this in terms of listening to yourself playing and listening to the band that you're playing with, but how important do you think listening is in general to other music, to the sounds around you, in terms of becoming a musician?
Well, I think a lot of the younger, like hip-hop guys and a lot of that stuff today, I find these people, that generation are actually more open to music maybe than we were back in the day. I see a lot of young people, coming up to me at gigs and saying, hey man, that was awesome, these are heavy metal guys with chains and it's kind of funny, but there seems to be a great deal of respect for playing today. And that makes me happy, for a lot of reasons. One, I don't just teach to make money. I teach to put something back, I feel obligated to. And I know that sounds kind of corny to some people, but it's true. When you have the skill, you should pass it on. I do the same with martial arts. Yeah.
We reached the end of our show. I want to thank you so much for coming on, Roger. It's really nice to have you.
Thanks for having me.
And before we go, do you mind sort of maybe playing a favorite sort of progression or style as we go out?
You want me to do it, or you're gonna do it?
You're gonna do it. Yeah.
Just teasing you. Yeah, I'll give you a little scratch, I guess.
Great. Thanks so much, Roger.
Thank you. Best of luck.
Yeah, that was Roger Stone live here in the studios at CKD. You're listening to Why Folk, Why Not.